Welcome to the Round 15 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name is Marcus, and this week I'm joined by Faz. Welcome to the show, mate.
G'day, Poe. How are you going?
Good, good. How did you score on the weekend?
I think you might have got me this week. I was 1 point shy of my goal. I scored 20.99 this week. Pretty good week all round, I think, with 18 players to get that score. You've got to be pretty happy. Ended up going Riccardi over Mosquito in the end. So apologies to anybody out there listening who followed my advice. I think I was initially saying Mosquito over Riccardi. Scored a very nice 94 there. But the byproduct of that, I guess it saved me a trade. I was going to go Rankine to Jack Martin. And then when I saw Riccardi's 94, it seemed, you know, that was about as good as I was hoping for from Martin. So held on to Rankine, but left him on the bench. So didn't get that nice 130 from him. But, you know, plenty of other nice scores across the weekend. Zach Merritt's continuing to do well. Tom Mitchell was my captain. A few ums and ahs there about whether I look for something better. I know friend of the show, CJ, he ended up going Grundy. So I think he had a pretty nervous wait across the game to get his 5 bonus points there. But, yeah, I think I'll call that one a win to almost scrape 2,100 in a bye week. How did you go, mate?
Scored 21.25, and I was hoping that would be good enough to push me up even further, and it was a little bit, but only moved up 500 spots, so up to 8,123. Can't be too disappointed about that. I went Mosquito over Riccardi. Wasn't too happy at the start, but that allowed me to have Rankine on field, and so it ended up being point benefit. I think his 94 basically came from all 4 goals, and he didn't score a heap outside of that. I think his AFL ratings points was actually negative, which caused a bit of a stir on Twitter in terms of how that could be calculated. He was the 44th player ranked on ground. But
wow,
he scored
with 4 goals.
Yeah, yeah. It's because the way that he scored them, player ratings work out what you're expected to do in that situation. So he basically scored in a lot of easy situations, and he actually missed in some easy situations as well. Yeah, he ended up having negative AFL player rating points, which is, it's another champion data measure, but it's calculated for the AFL website and AFL. Yeah, interesting how sort of stats work anyway, but you'd be pretty happy with Riccardi after the second week. Shot up, I think, 60-70K or something. He's at 170 now. But yeah, anyway, before we get on to the topics for the week, I'm just going to give a quick update on how our leagues are going. So our Patreon group at the moment, which we give out a cash prize to the overall leader at the end of the year, we've got a new leader, John's team, Dusty's Chopsticks, sitting at 172nd, and usurping Jack's team, who's at 207th. Nick's team, Sky Valley, is sitting at 243rd. We've got Tommy's team at 279, a couple others in the top 300. So a lot of competition there. All right, let's get on to topics for the week, Faz. And we'll start off with a question from at Peter Wu 97, asking whether or not to hold or trade Luke Ryan if he misses this week. And he's got 6 trades for context. So interesting to sort of talk about how many trades you would have and how that influence your decision as well. Luke Ryan, I think, hurt his back coming down hard off a marking contest. And I think I saw on Twitter that Longmuir said that he's still a test to come back this week. So not definitively ruled out yet, Faz, but certainly a wait and see. What do you reckon about trading Luke Ryan if he misses?
Yeah, I think there might have been a bit of hip involved in that injury as well. So obviously early days and a few medical checks to go, but I'd be guessing we're recording at the moment on a Monday and Freo play Wednesday evening. So I just think with that very short turnaround that we're seeing in the buys here, combined with Freo's ladder position, which I think they're probably pretty close to out of contention now. They're 2 clear wins and percentage out of the 8 with 4 games to go. So I don't think they'd be too optimistic about making finals. I think with a guy of Luke Ryan's caliber, you just say rest up this week at the very least. And I think that that's probably getting pretty close to a must trade already, just because of where we are. Obviously, if you're in a league situation, it's different. But looking at overall and with how hard hit most teams are going to be this week with other buy affected players, particularly in the midfield, I would say it's looking like pretty close to a trade if Ryan's not playing this week. Are you in a similar camp there?
I guess my counter would be, would you consider trading out another player on the bye who's potentially less of a point of difference than Ryan and has less potential upside in that position? And or almost treat him as though he was on the bye this week, right? So we're not trading everyone who's on the bye this week. Obviously, most people are holding a good chunk of their players. You know, would you consider trading out Bailey Smith's obviously a hot one, 483,000. His 150 is cycling out, so he's about sort of peaked potentially. And you could trade him to Walters, let's say, this week. Are you better off doing that and essentially upgrading Smith to Walters versus, you know, potentially downgrading Orion?
It's a good point you make there. I guess my concerns are, you know, are we going to see the same Luke Ryan that we've seen all season when he comes back? Or is it going to be sort of Luke Ryan in cotton wool and maybe sort of managed through the games? I'd just be a bit concerned about that. The other factor, and, you know, I think that's a good example you've brought up with Bailey Smith and one that will be a strong contender to come out of a lot of the teams this week. The difference there is that I guess Bailey Smith down at, what is he, about 470K or so, you know, if you go to a Walters type, you know, that's going to be okay. You don't have to spend much money there. But I'm just looking at Luke Ryan's priced at 607 right now. So he's only
pretty expensive. Yeah. You get a lot for him.
Exactly. If you've got 40K lying around, you can get yourself up to Jake Lloyd, which as a non-Jake Lloyd owner, I am incredibly envious of all those teams out there that do own him. He's just, you know, continuing to pump out those huge scores. And then if you look at other options with, you know, what you can do with Luke Ryan, most of the other options are down below 500K right now. We just seem to have seen that with the price cycles. You've got your sort of Jordan Ridley's, you know, a few on the buy this week. That's not that helpful. So Caleb Daniels got a line through him. But Maynard, if you're not so affected next week, he's down below 500K. I'm guessing Jack Crisp is as well. So, you know, you're going to make yourself a fair chunk of change there by going, you know, Luke Ryan to a Jack Crisp. That's already 150K that you've generated from that, you know, effectively sideways swap. And then you can start looking at, and we've got these extra trades these few weeks, you can start to think about, you know, what can I actually do with that money? Bailey Smith does, you're not limited just to looking at the Walters types. You could go Bailey Smith up to a Brayshaw or, you know, up to a Whitfield, whatever the case might be, whoever's missing in your team, you can then, you know, look at how can I put that cash to use elsewhere.
Yeah, and I think probably how much cash you need to generate from that tide swap will probably come into account. If you are needing to generate more cash from a side swap, let's say going from McRae to Fife to unlock 100K to upgrade, let's say Rankin to a premium, that's obviously going to make you more likely to trade out Luke Ryan. I think probably the other main factor, Faz, which you brought up is just Lloyd. If you can do Ryan to Lloyd, that's got to be pretty tempting. And you're just not going to be able to get to a Lloyd equivalent from Bailey Smith.
That's right.
All right. Next question is from Shannon Swan. His question is about playing finals and whether or not it's worthwhile jumping to Gorn. And assuming that Grundy, Nick Nat, and Goldstein are the potential trade-out targets, might you order them in order of who you might trade out to Gorn in order to bring in that absolute top-end scoring?
Yeah, it's a tough one because all these players have seen sort of some mixed form recently. I think last week we were talking about Nick Nat being the form ruckman of the comp. Still looked pretty good on the weekend, but I know that time on ground is continuing to be a bit of an issue for him. But he certainly has the advantage over these other two that we're discussing that he's had his bye already. So both Goldstein and Grundy will be missing one of the next four games. Nick Nat, it's possible that they'll give him a rest, but you know it's also possible that he plays all four. So can we put a line through him just for that reason, that he has four games remaining, whereas the other two options have three games remaining?
I think the thing about Nick Nat is that he could potentially miss as well. Do you have any concerns about fatigue on Goldstein or Grundy?
I am getting a bit worried about Goldstein. He's looking pretty – he's labouring out there. He's sort of moving quite slowly around the ground. The big problem there is Goldstein's at 527K. So that's – you know, currently you're looking at 140,000, 150,000 to get up to Max Gorn, you know, unless you're doing the Luke Ryan down to Jordan Ridley trade that we just discussed before, it's going to be very hard to generate that amount of cash at this point in the year. I think if I had all the cash in the world, Goldstein's probably the one that I'd be looking to target as the trade out. But, you know, the cash is the issue there. You know, it's a much smaller jump from either Grundy or Nat Nui to get up to Max Gawn.
Have you seriously considered a Goldstein to Gawn switch?
I've been thinking about it, but the latest word out of Essendon is that Draper will play this week. So that's probably going to be the deciding factor for me. If Draper's named and ends up playing tomorrow night, I guess I get to see his score. I can probably leave him as an emergency and then make a decision. If he puts up something respectable, sort of 80-plus, I think I'll probably focus my efforts elsewhere because I've currently got a few spots on the field that are looking like being, I guess I'll say inverted commas, donuts because it's the best 18, but I'm not sure that I'll get 22 on field this week. You know, so it's either going to be donuts or some pretty poor scoring rookies making up the numbers. So long as I get a sort of respectable score from Draper, I think I'll focus the efforts elsewhere. If he puts up a howler, then I might have to start thinking about ways to move Goldstein on.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that's the main reason why I'd be looking to hold this week is if you have Draper. In a best 22, having Draper being able to come on, I think he scored 120 the last game. It's just gone so expensive that you have to really overinvest in you know, how marginal is that return potentially. So, yeah, I'm very much sort of in your camp as well, Faz, in terms of holding on. Hopefully he doesn't burn us too bad. And, you know, Goldstein can still score big on the run home. He's had a couple of quiet ones, but if anything, I think it would suggest that he's been longing for a rest. And that happens with Goldstein a little bit, I think. And, you know, you saw Zeri come in for a little bit. Next question is from James Kropf, and he's asking about JPK, Faz. Is he a good M8/M9? And has his return meant the end of Parker's elite scoring? He's absolutely peanuts this week, Josh Kennedy, and I'm actually looking at him myself. 417,000. This guy was on fire at the start of the season. You remember that, Faz? He was averaging, I think, 110 from the first four rounds. Was really looking like he was benefiting for the shorter quarters and having some points scaled up. And then, of course, injury hits. The 18 has now cycled through. Bargain. I mean, you can get a 250K downgrade from McRae, Faz.
That's true. It's true. It feels like we're recording an episode from, you know, season 2013 or something to be talking about Josh Kennedy again. But, yeah, certainly a hell of a lot of value there. A couple of weeks ago, I was looking quite closely at Luke Parker, who's managed to pull together some pretty impressive scoring this year, you know, without really sort of coming across my radar. It was just sort of, you know, banging out 120s, 130s most weeks. And then I had a look at Sydney's run home, and that probably was what scared me off. And I'm pretty happy that that's the case because his scoring has certainly dropped off the last couple of weeks. So in their last four, Sydney face Melbourne, who are gunning pretty hard for a final spot. Carlton's probably the easy game, but then they've got Brisbane and Geelong to finish the season. So I think that Sydney haven't looked fantastic this year. So I'm going to pencil them in for probably three losses out of their four games on the run home. Yeah, I think he's going to bang out, you know, about 100 average for the rest of the season, just based on his history and what sort of player he is. You know, he had a couple of bigger, you know, 120 plus scores, as you mentioned a bit earlier, those scores are in rounds 1 and 3. I'm just not sure that we're going to see those because those scores came against Adelaide and North Melbourne. That was back when we thought North were pretty all right, but you know they've turned out to be two of the weaker sides in the comp this year. And with that run home, I'm just not sure we're going to see the top end scoring from JPK. Certainly still a good value pick. I think it's all about, you know, as you pointed out, McRae to JPK gets you about 200K. Think about what you can do with that money elsewhere. If you can put it to good use, I can see JPK being a good part of your plans. I wouldn't just get him for the value, though, if that makes sense.
For mine, JPK is probably good enough to roll the dice on, but you recognize that you're taking a bit of a risk. At 400K, though, you know, if he just manages 100 across three rounds, that's probably considered a win. Last question for the round, and this one's from at Andrew P. Martini on Twitter. He's asking about some cheap forwards. So Jeremy Cameron, Luke Dalhouse, and Joe Danaher are the three that he's called out. I know Cameron's about 328 and Danaher's about 278, I think.
Yeah, 270 for Danaher, and it's 350 odd for Dollhouse. He's also on the bye this week, so I'm probably happy to put a line through him right away.
How about Cameron or Danaher though, Faz? Joey, 103, the great saviour is back.
Yeah, and he didn't do a lot in the first half, so that, you know, it's 103 from, you know, half a football essentially. not that many players at Essendon did much in the first half, which my text in the group chat will certainly attest to. I do think I'd probably favour Cameron over Danaher here. I know Jez's scoring has certainly been, you know, quite up and down this week. This season. But I guess my biggest concern with Joey is that just I'm not sure that he'll play all four of the remaining games in a row this year, particularly with the condensed schedule that we're going through right now. As an Essendon supporter and just a fan of Joe in general, I really hope that the Essendon medical staff have learnt their lessons from some past attempts to sort of try and rush Joe back. I think this week in particular seems like a good opportunity that, you know, he's come back, he had a run, played pretty well. Do you really need him to sort of be back out on the field 5 days later? I would suggest, you know, maybe you give him a week off. Then again, Essendon probably need to win every game for the rest of the season to make finals. So whether that plays into things, I think that at this point in the year with trades so low, I'd just be pretty reluctant to be trading in somebody that I'm pretty low confidence that he's going to play every game for the rest of the year.
And you're going to try to do that so that if he gets injured, nobody else will want him and he gets to keep him. We're going to really work you to the bone.
Sell low. That's our motto.
No, I agree with that. Danaher is very tempting. I've seen what it looks like to be able to put him at F7, and I think that's probably the only appropriate spot if you want to hide him there and use him as a loophole, and then at least you can protect against some of his poor scores or if he misses, more notably to Faz's point.
And I should just – I've just had a look. Teams for tomorrow have dropped, and he's still in the side as of now. So you know, whether he's a laid out or anything, that remains to be seen. But Danaher playing tomorrow night is the current position.
Anything else interesting from team sheets, mate?
Yeah, I guess I can cross off my little Jordan Butts section for later in the show, because he's been dropped by Adelaide. So that probably answers another question about, you know, should we be worrying about playing rookies at this point in the year? Do we just take the true bottom of the basement price point? I would suggest I'd rather take bottom of the barrel than picking a guy for more money who's not playing either. That's all I can really see from team sheets at the moment.
Draper back in.
Yeah, sorry, Draper back. I forgot to. Yeah, that's a big one, I think. So probably impacts the rough decisions. At least I think have a look at the score first. It's not possible if you think about Nick Knapp trade out, but either Goldstein or Grundy, you can have a look at Draper's score first and then make your decision.
Awesome. All right. I think just to finish up on Cameron, I would definitely consider him mostly because he plays Adelaide in a couple of rounds. I guess Carlton this week's not too bad either, potentially. Wietering is in reasonable nick, though, and may prove a bit of a menace. But against Adelaide, I think Tom Hawkins has kicked, like, he scored 200 in that game. So there's a chance that in one round he might give you all the rewards that you need. So that's certainly an option, Jay Cameron at 360, really, or sorry, 330.
It really feels sort of, you know, on character for Jez Cameron as well, doesn't it? To, you know, kick a bag against a cellar dweller right at the end of the season and, you know, potentially snag himself the Coleman in the process. I feel like that's a story we've seen before.
All right. You were talking about some rookies there, Faz. Do you want to sort of take us through any other rookie considerations or thoughts there?
Yes, I think that's Jordan Butts dropped is going to exhaust most of my recommendations for this week. I did see that we had a couple of questions about Riccardi after his impressive score in the week, whether it's too late to go for him. I think the fact that the impressive score translated to quite an inflated price now is at 173. I think your better bet is to, you know, try and find a budget premium somewhere like a Jez Cameron rather than going Riccardi, particularly because you just, you know, we're at that point in the season where you're not going to be able to see the benefit of the price increase. You know, even if you hold Riccardi for 2 weeks, you've then only got whoever you're trading him to for another 2 weeks. I'd rather just focus on maximising points on field at the moment. And then, yeah, I think I'm guessing Mosquito is probably a bit more affordable because he didn't have such a good second game. Just pulling him up now. So he's 153. What do you reckon? Do you just go the sort of 100K, you know, non-playing rookie at this point?
Bailey Williams, probably one to look out for. I think he'll play a second game. I think he's named.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So either in the back line or in the rucks, the DPP will come in handy if you need to tuck him away for Draper later on. So you can bring him into your back line when Draper's ready to be traded out. You can swap Bailey Williams into your ruck and trade out Draper directly to, you know, a backline player.
Yeah, that's a good one then. So I think Bailey Williams is certainly the pick for this week. Now that I've recognised what that might allow with Draper, probably a good chance to come into my side this week.
All right. Now, outside of that, Faz, I might just do a quick throw to you if there are any PODs or unique players or guys you think are primed for a run home that might be surprising for their current average. Anyone you want to call out that you like, Faz?
So I'm not sure I'm going to be too unique with these options here, but Andrew Brayshaw is looking like a pretty good price at the moment. He's come down to 546, break-even's back at 93, so he's one that I'll certainly be looking at quite closely. A few of the other Freo players I just have a few questions about them at the moment. I think Fife is still, you know, recovering from that injury, rotating forward and midfield. Walters has seen a bit of a drop-off in his centre-bounce numbers. Brayshaw's probably the one that looks like he's probably going to finish the season off quite well. So he's one that I'll take a close look at. Outside of that, I guess, I don't know, Jack Martin, I'm a bit scared off now. You know, we were talking up certainly last week, but back to earth with a bit of a thud on the weekend with, was it 60 or 70 points? I think that fluctuation in his scoring has me a bit scared off. If you wanted a budget midfielder and you didn't like JPK, Tim Taranto is only a touch over 450,000 at the moment. You know, he's shown some pretty impressive scoring in his short career so far. So I think you could do far worse than Taranto if you need a budget midfielder. And then down back, I think it's really sort of dealer's choice there. There's quite a few options, as we mentioned earlier. Nick Haynes under 500K is a pretty tempting one. But as I said, I think there's plenty of options there. I think, you know, Ridley's a pretty good pick as well. And I got to mention him, Jake Lloyd. If you can get him, I think it's still worth it at that price. It's just such a big point of difference when essentially every other player in the back line was scoring, you know, 100 points or below on the weekend, and you've got Jake Lloyd sort of continuing to pump out near 150s. That's a good way to bridge any gaps that you need to at the end of the season.
Yep, good calls there. I'm going to go with Zach Williams in the back line, coming off a 70, but since coming back from injury, 112, 105, 111, 94, and then that 70. He's still in only 8.7% of teams, and GWS, Carlton, Adelaide, Melbourne, and St Kilda on the run home. Saad, he's in 8.6% of teams, just scored 102, still averaging 99. Like, he's a picture of consistency and nobody's touching him. You've got Andrew Gaff, who was a bit cheaper a few weeks ago. It was, I think, around 470, but now at 500, coming off a 130, 30-plus possession game, and West Coast have a reasonable draw to come with Essendon, Western Bulldogs, St Kilda, and North Melbourne. Zach Merritt, he is actually on fire at the moment. His last five games include 143 and 145. He's still in 7.6% of teams and, of course, buy free as well. So he's certainly somebody to look at. Toby Green is definitely a unique option. But against Carlton, Adelaide, Melbourne, St Kilda, there's potential that some of those points go into the forward line. He has some serious upside. He scored 166 in round 8 against Richmond. I think that he can be a hit and miss pick, but if you need to win some finals with a unique player, I think they're worse risks than Toby Green. Just trying to see if there's anybody else a bit further down that is Jordan Dawson, probably people haven't thought about him in a little while, was struggling to play a lucrative enough role with all the competition. But as the team has thinned out, his opportunities have increased. Flowing a bit under the radar, but his last four scores, 121, 91, 92, and 110. He's still priced at 450K, available in the back line or in the forward line. So if anybody still has the Brander, he'll switch. That might look also a little bit extra tempting.
Just on that point of backline options, Basha Hooley's another one. Obviously had a bit of a gap in the middle of the season, so when he didn't go back for the hub, but has come back with a mighty fine score of 147 on the weekend. Obviously still has a bye on the run home, but it's the less problematic bye next round. So it's just going to be Collingwood and Richmond next week. So if you don't have, you know, Crisp or Maynard or Short, I think that's a pretty good pick there for Basha Hooley. He's certainly got that, you know, high upside potential.
Now, last really left field one, but I've got him actually, is Chera. He's moved to play much more midfield time. He's getting about 85% in the middle at the moment. He plays one off the inside, so he sits waiting for the extractor to pass him the pill. So when he gets it, he tends to score reasonably well because he's getting the long kicks inside 50 and stuff like that. But if the team are struggling a little bit more, he will obviously struggle a little bit more as well. But his last six games, 113, 72, 134, 89, 83, and 118. And Freo actually have a reasonable draw with Richmond, Melbourne, North, and Western Bulldogs being the last four. So he's definitely a left field pick, but I guess I should mention him because he's in my team. Awesome. All right. That's probably enough for the week, Faz. Anything final you want to leave our listeners with, Matt?
Oh, enjoy the plethora of sports we've got going at the moment. We had a brief shutdown of the NBA over the weekend, but they're back in action as well. So, you know, we've got one day off tonight and then we're back into footy tomorrow. So, you know, make sure you look after your loved ones and don't forget to feed them, because there'll be plenty of time spent staring at a television.
Yeah, exactly, Faz. Enjoy, listeners. Good luck. And I guess for league players, enjoy the week off. I know there's a few people probably don't care about what's happening this week. There's around 15, too many players off. I think they've just called off the league games.
Yep, I think it's a sensible move.
All right, and we'll catch you all next week. See ya.
See ya.